pull up a chair and join us at the table this week for another episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast.
Hey, listeners, want to get a chance to chat with me live? On March 23rd, you'll get your chance. Listen after this episode for more details. All right. Previously on Paper, Pencil, Dice, welcome back, everybody. Previously, our heroes, still in the city of Nishtun. They are seeking the Scorpion Bloodstone, which they know currently is in the possession of the Dread Crowns. While they were on their way towards Nishtun, however, they were ambushed by members of the Dread Crowns. Those ambushers luckily were slain by our victorious heroes. This episode, our heroes are looking for a way to get into the Dread Crowns base, where they now know the Scorpion Bloodstone is located. So we're going to go around and introduce everybody here. So we're going to start off with Chris, the player of Tegan. Do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Chris Bellew, and I'm Tegan, and I enjoy being a sorcerer and being mystical, and at the same time, I seem to be a little weird because I talk to myself too much. I have a brown cloak on and a brown hood over my head, so very nondescript looking, except for the mumbling. You really wouldn't know I was there.
All right. And Mark?
I'm Mark. I'm playing Hups Bottomsworth. I'm a human rogue, actually disguising myself or presenting myself as an artisan jeweler. I'm having a little bit of a problem with... I've left my hometown that I grew up in because I'm having a little bit of voices in my head and maybe slowly becoming mad, but not exactly sure what's going on.
All right. And Chris?
Yeah, my name's Chris. I'm playing Jethal Zahn. I'm an elf wizard. You know, typical elf looking. I'm pretty well dressed. I like to hold myself in high esteem. I'm just kind of here trying to do what I want to do, type of thing.
Fair enough. And last but not least, Brian.
So I am playing Aether. He is a fighter. He's an elven guy that has come from his homeland that's unfortunately has been driven out of. And so he's wandering the human areas here to kind of just either try to build a life and to find other people from his past, from his homeland. And so he's here with these guys, originally, you know, just trying to make his way as like a guard and whatnot for various things. And you see in the previous episodes where he used to be a caravan guard, and that's how he has come to Nishtun before. So that's where we're at with Aether right now.
All right. So, jumping into the action here. So last time that we saw our heroes, they were looking to get into the Dread Crown's base. They have a good idea of where it is, but right now we don't know how they're going to get in. So, first of all, as you guys are walking the streets last time, it's early morning. You guys woke up from the horse's cellar after returning there the previous evening. And you knew that you needed to go to the Fool and Mug, which is where the main entrance to get into their base is. But before you do you guys do anything else at the horse's cellar on your way out?
What about the whole idea of burning something? Did we figure out if we were going to do that? We're going to burn something? Leave our mark? Or are we just going to go straight there?
We were going to burn something?
Yeah, send a signal. Send a signal to the Thieves Guild. No? I thought it was a great idea. No? All right.
That was a terrible idea.
That doesn't seem like a good idea.
Leave a calling card, burn something. That's a great way to get someone's attention, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's,
you're not a pyro.
It's a definite way to get somebody's attention.
I scooped out.
the Fula mug last night.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So we got our way in, don't we?
Yeah, I'm a little haggard this morning. Just kind of a little bit slower on the uptake.
Okay, yeah, do you guys want to share with the others? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying the bottle of wine I finished last night, I'm feeling a little haggard too.
Did you guys share with the rest of the party what you found out at the Fool and Mug?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I would have. I would have shared that there was some very nice nobles, and I felt very at home there.
And I would have shared that the fact that it was much more fun, and the women were much better looking, and things were much more crazy than they actually were. And the guys were the bad guys were bigger than they actually are, and the weasels were weaselier than they are. Just everything's over exaggerated.
Yes.
Okay, so we already know that there's a secret entrance to the side of the bar, and that's kind of where we're going.
Right.
Okay.
So that's correct. So Tegan, as you guys are having this conversation in the dining area of the inn, a small child comes up and hands you a small piece of paper.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
And he turns around and leaves.
All right. Open up the paper. Read it.
Okay.
I follow the child.
You what?
I follow the child. I want to see
what. All right. So Hup goes and stalks a child. Meanwhile, Tegan reads.
That doesn't quite sound appropriate. I'm going to see where the child is going.
Okay. We will come back to Hup's hopefully not predatory actions in a moment. But first of all, so Tegan opens up the piece of paper, and it says, 10 drunken gnomes have a chunk of gin. Uncle Andrew can supply for a business expense.
I might have to write this down. Is this a riddle? I'm just going to read that same thing back out to them.
Okay.
Can you say it again?
Yeah, I'm not repeating that sucker. Not after one time. Try it again.
So I put it out in the Roll 20 chat there.
Oh, okay. All right. 10 drunken gnomes have a chunk of gin. Uncle Andrew can't supply for a business expense.
Didn't we meet an Andrew? We met an Andrew at the.
You did meet an Andrew
at the orphanage.
No, Andrew was at the tavern near the edge of the city where he was a friend of mine.
That's correct. Yep. So meanwhile, before we jump back to them, the three of them are trying to decipher what this piece of paper means. Meanwhile, Hup leaves to go outside, and he watches the child. And as you perceive what's going on, you eventually notice that the child walks off, and an individual looks to give the kid a couple coins, and the kid goes skipping off into the distance.
So now I follow the guy that paid him. Like, what's this guy look like? Does he look like a nice, upstanding gentleman type fellow that he was just being nice to kids, or seems suspicious to me?
So the guy is looks like a human, a little bit shorter than the average human, probably about 5'4" or so, wearing a brown cloak that he has the hood pulled up. The front of the cloak, where it's open, you can see he's wearing some sort of a studded leather armor that's entirely black other than the studs, which appear to be golden studs or golden colored studs anyway.
Sure.
He has a weapon on his side. It's difficult to tell exactly what it is, but it's a sword of some sort, but not a long sword.
Okay. I kind of like to follow him a bit. Not terribly fall. I'm going to use my stealthiness to kind of.
Go ahead and give me a stealth check on that.
Okay, that sounds easy enough to do. Should be pretty straightforward. So I rolled a 19.
Okay. With a 19, yeah, you're able to track him. He doesn't really seem to be trying to lose you at all. Eventually, he goes. He walks down a couple different alleys. Not really hiding that well, nor does it even really seem like he's trying to hide too much. Eventually, He gets to another person who gives him a couple gold, and then he goes wandering off.
Okay, so it looks like a long chain of handoffs, and so could be going this all day.
Yeah, this person appears to be an orc that you can tell. And this person, actually, you remember pretty much exactly who they are. It was Andrew who paid the person in the red in the brown cloak.
Okay, gotcha. All right, sounds great.
So, do you head back?
Yeah, I'll just return back.
Okay, so Hup returns back into the tavern, back into the horse's cellar, and finds the other three remaining members of his group hovering over some sort of a piece of paper, trying to figure it out.
Oh, I bet that's a guy from the that Andrew that Thier knows.
So he can supply something for a business expense at the 10 drunken gnomes, but yeah, what is the chunk of gin?
Is if he's got 10 helpers that can get us in from the drunken gnomes, because the tavern was named the Drunken Gnome.
Oh, where the Thieves Guild's at?
No.
Could be. So maybe they can...
The Thieves Guild was at the...
The Fool and Mug.
Fool and Mug. There we go. I had it there.
Either that or they're trying to have a chunk of gin. I'm just wondering if this is... Because in order to get in, we needed to have the drink, right? We had to order a specific drink.
Do you guys... Yeah, at the Fool and Mug, that's correct. Did you guys read this to Hup at any point?
Not yet. That's a good point. Should probably read it.
Hup, come over and see this.
I look over it, and I say, well, I follow the kid, and it looks like the money trail goes back to our little orcan friend, orcish friend Andrew. He was basically paying people to get this message to us.
And refresh my memory, the orc was what did he do for us?
He gave us the clues to how to get into the society.
What to drink, to order, and...
Yeah.
Was Andrew the one in charge of the orphanage?
No.
No.
That's Hammond.
Hammond, yep. Hammond,
yeah.
The dinosaur person.
Yeah. By the way, listeners, it's been about a month and a half since we played last, so the group is trying to refresh themselves on everything that's going on.
Yeah. So what was special about Andrew? He gave us
Andrew. Andrew was Aether's friend acquaintance. That it was the one that did originally give us the information about the Fool and Mug, and that you need to order the Dragonflame Spice Mead.
That's right.
And the arena or whatever we'd have to compete in.
Correct. The gauntlet. Yeah, the gauntlet. Yep. So he's the one that kind of gave us that information, and then Hammond is who gave us the passphrase as well. So we kind of have what we need to be able to get in there. It's just a matter of if we would like to move that direction now.
I guess, and what's our plan? Is there, or once we get in, do we just fight our way through, or are we trying to get into this gauntlet, or what was our plan?
It was basically feats of strength, right? Or feats of your trials. Skill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the three trials.
So do we go to the Fool and Mug, or do we go over to the Drunken Gnome and pay Andrew?
So Hup, go ahead and roll intelligence, Hup.
Alrighty, here we go. Oh, I gotta roll it.
You get a pretty hefty bonus on this, so you probably are gonna succeed most likely.
If I can type, I'll be much happier. So 17 on that.
That's way more than you needed. So you quickly recognize that this particular note is written in Thieves' Cant. The different words on this note mean something different than what they specifically say. What you can translate it into is this.
Okay.
And it says what for the listeners?
Yeah, I'm waiting for Hup to read it.
Oh. So this, dude, obviously this says that Andro has a contact because you can help get the gemstone. Just meet him at the Drunken Gnome in 10 hours and bring a taco. I mean a bribe.
A taco. Well,
taco is a bribe, so what's a taco?
I always, my thieves' cant is a little rusty.
All right. So I would rather, I'd rather go get the gemstone than worry about the gauntlet.
Yeah, sounds like this would be a better play. I'm all for doing it the easy way.
Yeah.
Yeah, easy way comes at a price.
As a rogue, I try to avoid trials.
That's okay.
As long as Jethal's willing to buy, I'm
all I wrong. Didn't say I was going to buy at all. We're all in this together.
We'll pull the money to get that bribe going.
You need all the right. money pulled? I can pull the money.
I bet you could. Right into your own pocket. All right, so we got 10 hours to kill.
So how big is Nishtun? Is Nishtun a pretty good sized?
It's probably like 35 to 40,000 people, you would guess. You're not really that knowledgeable on city sizes, so
right, because I've only been to one other one. Yeah.
But it's a good sized city. I would not call it a metropolis, but it's a city.
Yeah. So if we needed specialty supplies, we could probably find specialty supplies here or
someone who can make them, yeah.
Gotcha. I mean, do we need weapons or armors or...
Yeah, that's why we're asking about the magic shops, because I can't wear armor, so I was looking for a ring or something like that, or a cloak.
What do we know about the Drunken Gnome? Do we know anything about this Drunken Gnome? I'm assuming it's a bar of some sort or an inn of some sort.
A tavern and an inn. It's probably the seediest tavern and inn in the entire city.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's an innie you get thrown out of? An innie outie? An outie?
An inner outer, yeah.
I'm going to work an innie outie joke in there. It didn't really work very well.
No.
That's okay. You get partial credit for trying.
Partial credit. That's all I want. So it's the seediest place in town. And we just know that by reputation. Or we haven't heard that before, right?
We have.
Well, you've been there.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So I say we go back and kind of scope, not go back to it, but scope the place around it. See what, which ways because we may need to escape quickly, right? If we take possession there, we may have to get away fast. We may have to take alleyways. We might have to just be...
I have a feeling, knowing my experience with Andro, that what we need is probably not there itself. He has a way of getting it.
Okay, that seems fair.
So let's get some gear. I'd like to get something that raises my AC, so maybe a cloak or a ring or something. So can we just scour the city and get some gear and then go over?
What is this AC you speak of?
It's air conditioning.
Air conditioning? 55. Okay. I roll down the windows, hang my head out the door. It's awesome.
As Tegan walks to the edge of the inn and finds a rotating handle and rolls down the window at the inn.
Sticks my head out and wags my tongue. There you go.
Is that the plan? You guys are going to head towards the Drunken Gnome and scout things out, or are you guys going to go shopping first?
I'd like to do a little bit of shopping. It'd be nice to... As a rogue, I should be able to make some type of traps, right? I could do some trap making. So I kind of like to be able to pick up some supplies for that, because I think that might be useful in the short term.
Are you guys all going to go shopping together? Are you going to split up and try to make the best of the time?
I'm fine to go off on my own, but I know splitting the party, some DMs just love that.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about on that.
So let's everybody go to a different shop meet all back, maybe not. Okay.
9 hours and 45 minutes.
9 hours and 45 minutes.
I mean, I'm good with splitting off. I kind of want to go and walk around the more, I guess, prosperous area.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good idea too. I'm going to do that.
All right. If Mark's going to go to the Noble District, we're all going to have to go because it's going to be a fight.
There may be some purses that will disappear into his pocket.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, let's go shopping together first.
Okay. So what kind of a shop are you guys looking for?
Let's start with cloaks and rings.
Okay. So of all places that you you go wandering around, places, and the first place you come across is this really quaint little stand. It's an outdoor stand with a big tarp over top. And there is a short, half-tall person standing there, and you quickly realize, oh no, this is Saeed again.
Nice.
And he goes, hey, welcome back!
Saeed, my main man.
He's not supposed to be in the Noble District.
No, he's on the outskirts of the Noble District.
Saeed, what you got going today?
You encounter him on the way in.
Oh.
What do I detect from Saeed? Is like does he pretty observant? Does he seem a little more foolish?
So give me a perception check since you're trying to kind of read him as a person.
Okay.
Hammond told us that he was harmless. But
he did.
Yeah.
One thing that I will point out here is this stall that Saeed's in right now is not the same one that he was in last time. So he's moved stalls.
Sure. I rolled a 25.
All right. So, yeah, your read on him is you have a pretty high level of confidence in your read on him. He seems like he is kind of foolish and fun-loving and stuff like that, but you also see through the fact that that's all really an act. He really knows a lot more than he's putting on.
So, very cunning type of person. So, thieves, you brought Thieves' Cant up earlier. My understanding, well, in first edition, this is meta, this is out of game, obviously. In first edition, metagame, Thieves' Cant was really a body language type of thing. It wasn't so much a written language much. It was more about how thieves could communicate over distances.
They have actually split that up into separate languages. There's a thieves sign language that is separate from Thieves Cant. Like the sign language would be more along the lines of like, yeah, nonverbal signals to be able to, you know, like the point at my eyes, point at you, send a signal, get messages across completely nonverbally, which works really well when you're stealthing and hiding and things like that. Meanwhile, you also at the same time have the Thieves' Cant, which is more saying something, which means something completely different and looks innocuous or innocent that you're trying to get across, which works really well in the written, because that way you can send coded messages essentially through the Thieves' Cant.
So, and I can use both. Is that correct?
I would rule that yes, you can use both. So as a thief with your particular proclivities.
I'm going to kind of signal Saeed. Saeed, is that right?
Yes.
I'm going to signal Saeed. We're headed to the Drunken Gnome to meet with some people. Anything afoot around that area?
Well, I've heard tell that they're having a moldly.
A moldly?
Mold issue.
A mold issue. And does that mean anything special to me?
In Thieves' Cant, you would interpret that as there's something to do with the undead there.
Gotcha. And I was trying to use the sign language that I was trying to do.
Oh, okay.
So no one would really know what we were doing, but
yeah. So you essentially told him that you are a thief and communicating that, and Saeed communicated back to you in verbal Thieves' Cant.
Gotcha. Okay. So that there's some little bit of undead action going on over at the Drunken Gnome.
Do you say that out loud right in front of Saeed?
No. Okay. I'm just repeating what I'm hearing.
Got it.
So back in Thieves' Cant, then say, you're my translator here. What type of undead situation are we talking about? Like a major crap is hitting the fan, or it's just kind of a beginnings of something maybe a little larger?
Saeed pretty much looks at you and just kind of shrugs like he doesn't know.
Sure. Just that there's something.
There's something awry having to do with the undead there, and that's all he really knows at this point.
Okay.
All right, Saeed, you got my attention. What do you got to help you be harder to hit for cloaks and rings? Is it hard?
Well, I have this ring here, which is extremely pretty. And the best part is, if you hold it just like this and he like puts it on his finger and holds it up to the light, you could shine it like this, and if you can bounce the sunlight into your enemy's eyes, they'll have a really hard time hitting you.
All right, can I cast
Oh, I've heard about those. Those are extremely powerful magic rings.
Can I cast what is that, detect magic?
Sure.
Oh, that's not going to tell me where it's coming from, though, right?
You can eliminate those things that you know that are magical, but it will just tell you if something other than what you've eliminated that you know is, that something else is.
Oh, that's not going to help. I need to know if that thing was magical.
There's another spell that does that.
Yeah, it's like identify magic or something.
Like read aura or something like that.
What about can I sense motive on Saeed to see if he's trying to just bluff or?
Define what you mean by bluff.
Like,
is he trying to pull a fast one on you?
Like he's trying to pull a fast one on me and sell me something that's not, it has anything to do with trying to get hit.
So yeah, go ahead and roll it.
And what is that? Perception?
Yeah, perception too, to try to sense his motive.
Okay. 15.
15. All right. No, he seems like he's being relatively endearing. The only real feel you get is that he's selling things to you that he would normally sell to commoners, not something that would be like super unique and special, but not that he's trying to like pull a fast one on you.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to skip this and go somewhere else where I can tell whether or not it's really working or not.
He goes, and he looks at you and like points at you really carefully and goes, you have a cunning eye. I would like to give you an offer. And he kind of like takes a coin and like rolls it across his knuckles. That might be intriguing to one as discerning as you.
Okay, what is it?
I might be in possession of another ring. But this ring is one that can protect you. Do you wish to know more?
Sure.
And he like holds his hand and like reveals that holds his hand one way, holds it the other way. That gold coin that was rolling across his knuckles isn't there anymore. Flips it back and forth again. There's now a ring in his hand.
Could I tell if it was just a sleight of hand or magical?
You can give me a quick perception.
Okay. 14.
You're not sure. It could have been either. But he holds it out to you and he holds it and he places it on his finger and like the gemstone on it like lights up for a moment with fire and then dies back down. He goes, when you wear this, and he like holds his hand out over a torch that's lit, that's out in the street, kind of lighting the way, just waves his hand over top and pulls it back, and there's not even any smoke or anything on his hand. When you wear this, fires that are cannot burn you anywhere near as bad as they normally would.
All right, I'm listening now. And then I'll do my mercantile skill and see what kind of price I can get from him, haggling.
I will be willing to trade this with you.
Trade?
Yes. I mean, things such as this go for far more money than most people possess. But that, and he points at one of your necklaces, that there looks mighty intriguing.
Yeah, the necklace isn't for sale.
Well, then neither is this ring. And he, like, flips his hand and it goes away.
Okay.
Do I see where he puts the ring?
You can go ahead and give me a perception check.
And it starts.
I rolled a 24 modified.
His ring is, like, hidden between two of his fingers on the back of his hand right now.
What is the possibility that I can just pick that up with his small fingers?
That you could pick another thief.
Hold on. That you could take it off of his fingers, or that you could take it off of his fingers without him noticing. Those are two different questions.
I'm talking his fingers. I'm taking his fingers, the ring, the
whole. You don't have to take his whole hand off?
I don't think he'll notice. I've got to.
Probably not.
I mean, if you need that done, you probably could use a fighter. I mean, you don't need to be all subtle about that.
There's very little subtle about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in all seriousness, what are you going to do, Hub?
So I want to get a little more information from him. Like, so we know about them. We know the gnomes. The drunken gnome has got a little undead action going on. I'm also looking for, like, additional information about, is there, you know, anything you can tell, you know, what's the security look like? That is there people we need to be aware of? Is he, maybe he's not even that familiar with it. So kind of what information can you tell me about the drunken gnome that would be useful for getting out of there fast if we needed to, or get in there quietly if we needed to?
There are no lions around the drunken gnome, but watch for birds.
My mother said that often. I never understood what she said meant when she said that.
It probably means you watch the rooftops. Because they're singing.
Well, why would the lions be up there?
No, he said watch for birds.
So I'm assuming that's a fair assessment, is that I would know that.
That would be, yes. Aether did a much better job of Thieves Camp than you did this time.
I've always been suspicious of Aether, and now I'm even more so. The voices
well,
tell
Aether
me
has been
now.
Around for a very, very long time.
Yeah, the voices don't like him.
Voices.
They don't trust him. They think he's a little bit snooty. Trying to think if there's any other information that I can get from him. So,
all right, I'm going to pull the necklace back out. I wanted to see if he was for real. So I've got, what, two necklaces?
Yeah, you have two necklaces right now, I believe.
Yeah, I'll offer him one necklace trade.
Okay. He takes it and goes, ooh. He takes the one that still has all, that's a full necklace, not the one that's partially used.
Yeah, because he's smart. That's fine.
Of course he's smart. And he hands you a ring, and it drops into your hand.
And what, I put it on, and does it flame up?
It flames up.
And I do the same thing with my hand over the flame like he did.
And it is just as immune to the fire as it was on him.
Okay.
So
is my hand immune? I'm glad the ring's immune, but is my hand immune?
Your hand is also immune,
his
so long as you wear.
His hand bursts into flames.
Yes. For the listeners, this is a greater ring of energy resistance. It's a level 10 item, and it can be found in the core rulebook on page 614. But what this does is it grants you fire resistance of 10, meaning whenever you would take fire damage, you take 10 less of it. This is a very powerful item for this level.
Cool. So was that necklace, but that's okay.
Well,
I want to keep.
Do
an
I notice
eye on
where?
Up?
Do I notice where this ring gets placed?
Probably on his finger, I'm guessing.
That's how I did it. Yes.
He's going to take your whole hand now.
All right. Why does he try to get my fireball necklace back? That's what I want to know.
Well, I figured I didn't want to necessarily. I kind of want to talk to. Is he around a lot? I mean, I'm thieves canting to him. Are you easy to find? If we need to find you, are you pretty easy to find there, buddy?
I find those I want to find.
What if I want to find you? Is there a way to find you quickly?
You'll find me in time. But it's not always the same. I generally do not set up my stand in the same place twice.
If I need to get word to you, is there a way I can get word to you?
Speak to the sky and I shall hear.
Okay, that's perfectly done. And that means what?
That means that essentially he has a lot of spies around.
Okay.
So if you talk to the right people regarding messages to Saeed, it'll get to him.
And like he's known as Saeed. Like if I say
he's known as Saeed, yeah, that's not. You're not pretty confident word at this point. That's not his real name.
Right. His name's Joe.
His name is Joe. Joe Saeed.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anything else you guys want to do with Saeed here, or move on?
Get to the drunken gnome, I think.
All right.
I would like to try and find a place that maybe has some potions.
Okay. Well, on your way away from there, you walk a little bit into the wealthier area of town, and Hup happens to notice something.
My grandmother walking around the streets.
Yes, he notices his grandmother. she asks you if you've been wearing your sweater. No.
My Christmas sweater that she knitted me.
No, you happen to notice someone who has been watching you from above the rooftops that as soon as you look up, ducks back behind the roof.
Do I recognize who it might be?
The time you looked up, you didn't get a good glance other than that it was some sort of a humanoid.
Okay, so...
but obviously following along. You.
Oh, following me or your group. Oh, so following us, so we have a tail.
Yes, you have a tail.
Okay, so I'd like to just... We're going to kind of just keep on walking. I'm just going to kind of... quietly let the group know that we've got a tail and that I'm going to try to drop back and tail the tail.
Okay.
So I'm going to do a stealth on that.
Go ahead and give me a quick stealth check.
Sorry, I rolled a 16. It should have been an 18.
Oh, do you have two higher actually? Or are you just saying that?
I was preparing for a stealth. I was preparing for a perception roll and I...
accidentally rolled stealth, other way around.
My stealth is plus 8, not plus 6.
So you got an 18 on stealth. Long story short.
Yes.
So what you sneak around and you get a glimpse of the person, a good glimpse of the person before they realize that they've been spotted and duck and run away. By the way, if you recall that ambush. Remember the three people you fought? There was the large brute. There was the guy in the tree that got lit on fire. And then there was the woman who swallowed something and, as far as you could tell, passed away.
Right. Yeah.
This is that woman.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dude, our medicine checks suck.
Yes, that's true.
I think she's dead. We should bury her.
You bury her?
Yeah, you guys did bury her.
Yeah, you did bury her. Yeah.
And you buried her under, I think, didn't, if I recall it correctly, didn't Aether said like it was like a stone little pile that they made over the bodies?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's... you guys are pretty sure there's no way she could have gotten out of there.
Right. So she must have an identical twin brother.
Twin sister.
Sister
even. Maybe.
Very effeminate twin brother. Right. You see her duck and bolt. She runs.
Can I trail her?
Yes, you guys all can trailer, but we're going to do that as a skills challenge.
I wasn't following.
Okay, well then you can choose not to participate in the skills challenge.
Well, I mean, because he kind of ducked around, right?
Well, no, he's kind of doing, like, he looked at you guys, said, we have a tail, and then he, like, kind of, like, creeps along, and then pretty much gets a good glimpse, and she runs, and he's probably only, like, 10 feet away from you when she runs, so he has the opportunity to tell you what's going on.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Come on, come play the skill challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he had, like, ducked around a corner or something like that, so that's fair. Then, yeah, I would be... in that as well.
All right. So, as far as the skills challenge, though, we're going to jump into this one next time because it looks like this episode is going a little bit long. So, we will see if you guys can catch up to this apparently dead person next time.
Oh, man.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening this episode. And again, check us out on Facebook, check us out on Discord. And reach out to us if you have any questions or feedback. We'll see you next time on Paper, Pencil, Dice. Hey, listeners, on March 23rd, I, Tony, the Dungeon Master of Paper, Pencil, Dice, will be on the live show The Nerd Lounge with the cast of Nerd HQ, a gaming organization and hangout in Davenport, Iowa. Check it out on their Facebook page, Nerd HQ QC. That's Nerd HQ QC. Live stream starts at 9 p.m. on Monday, March 23rd of 2020. Again, it's on the Facebook site, NerdHQQC. Hope to see you there.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Paper Pencil Dice. Come check us out on our website, paperpencildice.com, or come visit us on Facebook. Leave us any feedback or questions you might have. Join us next time to see where our heroes end up on Paper Pencil Dice.